हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ दिस् मार्निङ्ग् I elaborately discussed what is Karma Yoga. We can never do Karma Yoga. We only do karma. But what converts the karma into yoga? Any action you perform is karma. That action performed with proper attitude of Ishwaring it to the Lord and with a preparedness to accept the result as prasadam from the Lord converts the action into a preparatory discipline. It is the attitude with which you perform. It is the attitude with which we receive the situations and results. It is the action how we perform, how we perform our actions in consciously, in conformity with dharma, converts our action into yoga, a preparatory discipline. We do karma, but karma becomes yoga, a preparatory discipline, when it is performed properly with a proper attitude in conformity with universal values. Is it possible for someone to become a karma yogi without the purushartha nischayaha? Without having clear understanding of the ultimate goal of life being moksha? No. It is very important for one to be very clear about the end being moksha. And moksha is not going somewhere or even not even death. Moksha is discovering the happiness which is already there as one's own nature. Which is freedom while living. And for which one has to discover one's own self. One's own self means discover the truth, obtaining as one's own self. So discovery of the truth is discovery of freedom, discovery of happiness. So discovery is knowledge. Therefore, we say knowledge is the means, therefore, that is why we become committed to the pursuit of the knowledge. How can one become committed to the pursuit of the knowledge? If a person does not know the connection between knowledge and moksha, jnanam is the sadhanam, moksha is the sadhyaha. Sadhana sadhya sambandha must be very clear. The means and the end, connection must be very clear. Only then a person can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And when a person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge alone, one understands the importance and necessity of being prepared for knowledge, qualified for knowledge. Only if you are interested in doing your PhD, you will think of getting certificate of your master's. So I have to become mentally prepared. I must become qualified for this knowledge. So I will make all possible efforts to prepare my mind for jnana. Why? I know the value of knowledge. I know the value of moksha. Therefore, if I know the value of what I will be losing, the greater value of what I will be losing if I do not follow values, then I will make all possible efforts to live a life of values. Isn't it? Dharma anushtanena vina antahkarana shuddhi na siddhyati. Mental purity and mental steadiness. Antahkarana shuddhi, antahkarana naischalyam is the qualification required for jnana. In fact, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, viveka vairagyam, disciplines, mokshuttum, etc. can be reduced to these two words, antahkarana shuddhi, antahkarana naischalyam. Mental, purity and mental steadiness. So, it is not possible at all for you to be mentally stable and to be adequately pure, not to be disturbed by impurities in terms of jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. It is not possible at all unless and until you consciously make efforts to live a life of values. That is why there is no karma yoga if I do not make efforts to live a life of values. If I am not conscious of not offending, hurting other person, there is no karma yoga. If I am not conscious of not telling lies, there is no karma yoga. If I am not conscious of, you don't need to speak out all the truths you know, but you must be conscious of what you are speaking must be the truth. You don't need to speak out all the truths you know. Isn't it? So living a life of values. That is why a karma yogi, only the purushartha nischaya is there, it is possible for him to become a karma yogi. Isn't it? So karma yoga itself is for preparing the mind for jnana. So even a person can live a life of values only if you know the value of preparing a mind for jnana. Otherwise, it is not possible at all. You can easily be doing wrong things. It is the value of knowledge, value of moksha, the knowledge of the value of values makes a person live, commit to oneself to live a life of values. Like even death happens, I will not compromise with dharma. The commitment to dharma, isn't it? It's all possible. Therefore, we saw this morning what is Karma Yoga. But karma, living a life of Karma Yoga itself is not an end. Living a life of Karma Yoga without knowledge will be incomplete. But attainment of knowledge without Karma Yoga will be impossible. Okay? So one has to go through a life of Karma Yoga for length of time in order to become mentally subtle, sharp, intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, mentally pure and steady, you know, to be adequately mature, to be able to focus on study of the scriptures and to understand the teaching, to assimilate the teaching. Okay? Therefore here, Karma Yoga is emphasized in the second mantra. Okay? Kurvanneveha karmani jijivishet shatam samaha evam tvai na anyatha itaha asti na karma lipyate pare. So, Vidvat Sanyasaha is explicitly mentioned. Vividisha Sanyasaha is indirectly referred to, mentioned in the first mantra itself. But what about the person who is not prepared for taking to a life of Sanyasaha? How can he protect himself? How can he attain moksha? How can he attain jnanam? How can he prepare his mind for jnanam? If you are not prepared for Vividvat Sanyasaha, if you are not prepared for the ascertainment of the knowledge, jnana nishta, and you are not prepared for any sannyasa at all, you are not yet qualified for jnanam, what is the way? You know, live a life of Karma Yoga. So he says, Shatam Samaha, 100 years, full span of life, Jiji Vishet. May one have desire to live long for 100 years. So Shastram says, it is said here, emphasis is not on desiring to live. Shastram need not teach us what we already know. Already we have naturally desire for living long. Okay? Already we have desire to live long. We need not be told to have desire for long life, living long. We need not be told to have desire for living long. So Shastram says, Kurvanneveha karmani. One have desire to live long for 100 years. But along with the desire to perform actions. Karmani kurvan eva. Why? Because other than performing karma, as what we have understood this morning, other than performing one's duties in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude of offering it to Ishvara, with the preparedness to accept everything as Ishvara Prasada, there's no way. Anyatha itaha anyatha na. Other than this, there's no other way of preparing oneself for jnanam. There is no other shortcut method by which one can attain mental purity and mental steadiness. Thereby one can become prepared for jnanam. Is there any other shortcut method? We all want to know. Any other way? No. What about praying to the Lord? Will bhakti not help me? Will practice of yoga not help me alone? They all help you if you practice yoga with the proper attitude. If you pray to Bhagavan, you worship Bhagavan, doing lots of pujas, singing, going for pilgrimage, you know, lot of religious activities. Whether you perform a secular activity, whether you involve yourself in secular activity, or whether you involve yourself in sacred activity, religious activity or mundane activities of earning your livelihood, doesn't matter. Whatever is your activity, whether you are doing your duties, doesn't matter. All these activities now will be meaningful, complete, will be successful, will serve their purpose, will contribute for preparing your mind only if you can perform them in conformity with universal values, with the proper attitude of offering them to Bhagavan, with the purushartha nischeha, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, to prepare your mind. I must prepare my mind for jnanam. I must become qualified for jnanam. I must become adequately mentally pure and steady, for which purpose I am doing everything. This must be the attitude. Only then what? There is possibility of preparing your mind for jnanam. Otherwise, without proper attitude, without commitment to live a life of dharma, without living your life of values, simply performing, without being ethical, without following values, if you are simply prayerful and worshipful, you are religious without being ethical. There are some people, I am very honest, I am very righteous, I am ethical, but I don't believe in God, so I don't worship and pray. There are some people who are ethical, very nice. Unfortunately, they are not religious. They don't worship and pray. There are some people who are religious, but they may not be ethical. Some people may be ethical and religious also, but they are not interested in jnanam. They are not spiritual. What makes a person spiritual? It is the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge makes a person spiritual. Unless and until you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, you are not spiritual. However religious you are. I do pujas from morning till evening. I do japam the whole day. It's fantastic, very good. We all must do it. But the end must be very clear. I am doing everything to prepare my mind for jnana. Then you become a spiritual person. Is it clear? So being spiritual. A person who is spiritual, is religious, is definitely ethical also. In fact, when you live your life of values, what happens? You are living, what is the purpose? Why should I live my life in conformity with the universal values? When I live my life in conformity with universal values, I live my life in tune with the order, in harmony with the universal natural moral law and order. I do not disturb the order. If I do not disturb the order, if I live my life in harmony with the order, I am blessed by the order. No? Then I can tap Bhagavan's grace. If you disturb the order, you provoke Bhagavan's anger. Wait, if I live my life in harmony with order, I do not disturb the order. If I do not disturb the order, I tap Bhagavan's anugraha. If I disturb the order, I provoke Bhagavan's nigraha. Bhagavan is anugraha karta, nigraha karta. So, the more I live a life of dharma, the more I tap Bhagavan's ways, the more I am conscious of Ishvara. See, in living a life of karma yoga, your life is lived with Bhagavan. Okay, because there's never a time you forget Bhagavan. You're always conscious of Bhagavan as karma phaladata. Always doing everything I'm offering it to Bhagavan. Which fraction of second can you forget Bhagavan in living a life of karma yoga? Because always conscious of dharma. Offer everything to Bhagavan. And whatever comes as prasada, when do you forget Bhagavan? That's why living a life of karma yoga means you fill your life with Bhagavan. Ishvara purnam jivitam. Bhagavan is always brought into your life. Bhagavan is never away from your life. If you live a life of karma yoga, Bhagavan is close to you. In jnanam, Bhagavan becomes one with you. Bhagavan is non separate from you. In karma yoga, Bhagavan is close to you. If you do not live life karma yoga, Bhagavan is far away from you. How to bring Bhagavan into your life? Only by living a life of karma yoga. Only by, okay? That is how you can tap Bhagavan's grace. So here, one more thing. I told you already, I think in some first day also I mentioned this. A karma yogi lives his life, performs all his actions consciously in conformity with dharma. Therefore, what happens? His own personal likes and dislikes are always neutralized, which means his actions are in conformity with dharma, means his actions are not dictated by his likes and dislikes. They are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, what happened to his willpower? He uses his will only to do the right action, to refrain from the wrong action. Therefore, this willpower becomes surrendered to Bhagavan. Living a life of dharma means what? Having one's willpower surrendered to Bhagavan, dharma. Surrendering one's will to dharma. Because my likes and dislikes do not govern my activities. Only my knowledge of right and wrong govern my activities. What happened to my will? My will has been surrendered to dharma. So surrendering one's will to dharma is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of order, which is otherwise said to be living one's life in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of order. Okay? Then one should live your life in harmony with the order. Then you are not disturbing the order, means you have all Bhagavan's grace. Then it means you will be blessed with the prosperity. Whatever you need to live your life, you will be blessed with. Okay? So that's why he said, otherwise, there's no way. Because what has to be prepared for jnana is your mind. It is the mind which is important for jnana. It is this mind where jnana has to take place. Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as your own nature, has to become revealed in your own mind. Knowledge has to take place in your mind. The clarity has to enhance in your mind. It is the mind which needs to be protected, looked after, like a baby. Any delicate darling, the baby is very, very delicate. How carefully you look after. Your own mind is a baby which has to be looked after. And to put you to take care of your mental well-being, emotional well-being, not to have disturbance, not to be disturbed by impurities, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, etc. To maintain calmness, relative peace, to be relatively peaceful. You must be relatively peaceful, only then you can discover absolute peace. You must be relatively, relatively steady, only you can discover the absolute stillness. For which, to be relatively peaceful, only way is what? What is the way? No way other than living a life of dharma. Dharma anushtanam is emphasized so much in Bhagavad Gita. Very important. So karma yoga means what? Dharma governed way of life. That's why dharmaha, isn't it? We say dharmaha, ahimsa paramo dharmaha. Non-hurting is exalted of the values. All other values are followed because ultimately in order not to hurt. Why you should not tell a lie? Why you should speak the truth? Why you not speak all the truths? Why you should not cheat? Why you should not do that anything? Ultimately in order not to hurt. Because anything I do, everything will result in hurting. So if you follow carefully one universal value of ahimsa, all the values come under the one umbrella. All values become followed. Isn't it? That's why this is karma yoga. Otherwise, if you do not follow values, what I speak, what I do, what I know, if they are not in alignment, my knowledge of right and wrong is different, what I speak is different, what I do is different, means there is no integration, integrity. If there is no thought, word and deed are not in alignment, there's a division, split. There's a split between what I speak, different what I do, what I think, what I know, then there's a split personality. If a person is split personality, there'll be prick. You can't be peaceful. There will be guilt. Again, you'll be disturbed. Guilt or hurt equally problematic. So what I say, to avoid being a split personality, if I should not be a split personality, I must be an integrated person, for which my thought, word and deed must be in alignment, for which the only way is living a life of universal values. Otherwise, you can never become mentally pure and steady. And without becoming mentally pure and steady, how many ever Upanishads, how many ever years is steady? No? Assimilation will never happen. I can never enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Okay? So, we must take care of our emotional well-being. Okay? Not only intellectual sharpness, emotional stability also. That's why it is said, na anyatha. No way. There's no other way. No other way. Na anyatha. Okay? If you live a life of karma yoga, follow this way of life enjoined by the shastra, then na karma lipyate nare, then karma na limpati, It must be karmana na lipyate or karma na limpati. The correct language. But we don't correct the what is there. It must be how? Karma na limpati it must be. Or it should be understood as karmana na lipyate. Only then you will not be afflicted by punya bhavam. Okay? That is how you can protect yourself. So that's why I said living a life of dharma governed karma yoga is relative protection. Absolute protection is jnanam. Other than this, there is no way of protecting yourself. You must be relatively protected first in order to be ultimately absolutely protected. Okay. Let us see the Bhashyam now. Kurvanneva iha. For kurvanneva iha means performing, only always performing actions, one must live one's life. But what karmani should you perform? What actions should you do? It says, karmani. The meaning given is nirvartayanneva. Say, nirvartayanneva. See, nirvartayan means removing. Nirvartayanneva means what? Nirvartayan is the meaning of the word kurvan, performing. Nirvartayan, performing. Nirvartayan eva, kurvan eva means performing actions, performing only. And what are the karmani? It is said agnihotradini. See, karmani agnihotradini. Agnihotra adini. Agnihotram is one of the names of the rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda. Agnihotram is the smallest ritual. Biggest ritual is Ashwamedha. Smallest is Agnihotram. In between, you have so many rituals prescribed. See, Agnihotram is a substitute. Actually, Agnihotram is a daily worship prescribed in the Jnana Karma Kanda of the Veda. Agnihotram is supposed to be performed by a person who is married. That is why Karma Yoga is a discipline to be followed by a householder, a grihasthashrami. A person who is married, a householder, who lives a grihasthashrama life, is supposed to live this, follow this way of life. Otherwise also, if you are not prepared, you have to live a life of karma yoga. Generally it is prescribed. And a jnana yoga is for a sannyasa, sannyasi. Sannyasa ashramastaha should supposed to follow the discipline of jnana yoga. Household is supposed to follow the discipline of karma yoga. If you are not, oh, just because somebody takes you sannyasa doesn't mean you can follow jnana yoga. If you are not prepared, you have to still perform your duties with proper attitude as yoga. Okay. So here, so Agnihotram is the smallest ritual. So what he says, generally those days we don't need to worry about Agnihotram and all. That is why I explained this morning what is living a life of karma yoga. This we understand here. This was written in those days for people, not written, actually it was, these mantras have been there timelessly for people who follow the Vedic way of life. Those days, even in India, we don't have people who perform Agnihotram regularly nowadays. So Agnihotram is only example given. See, one must perform rituals such as Agnihotram. Means what? Agnihotram is a nitya karma. Every day one must worship. See how nowadays we have substitute. We all light the lamp, clean the altar, place the altar, offer flowers, chant mantras, adu aarti. This is a puja. No? The puja which we are doing at present is worship. Puja is a worship, whereas a murti worship. We worship the forms. The forms which stand for Bhagavan, symbolize the Lord, the whole. We are not worshipping this small tiny form. We are worshipping Bhagavan, invoking Bhagavan in this form. So, murti worship is what a substitute for the Vedic ritual where we kindle the fire and offer oblations. Immediately don't complain, oh, I don't do Nityagnihotram, what can I do? Don't worry. We have substitute. Okay? The puja at present which we are doing now every day, go to our own best of our ability, whatever puja you are doing every day regularly in Krishna temple, Devi temple, and then here, there, that puja is substitute for Agnihotram. Agnihotram is a daily worship. Every day kindling a fire, offer oblations, isn't it? Is actually every day a householder must do. From the time of marriage, he has to start doing it. He should not stop it. Nitya karma. Okay? Agnihotra, adi means etc. The one name, but one ritual called Agnihotra stands for all the daily duties. Nitya karma. One must perform nitya karmani. Nitya karma means what? One's own committed duties. That's why I said in the morning, every individual has one's own roles. Every individual plays different roles. In playing every role, there are so many duties. So performing one's regular duties daily, isn't it? So nitya karma. So naimittikam karma. It's all Vedic, Veda ordained karma. Naimittikam karma means certain things, rituals which have to be followed occasionally, not regularly, occasionally. You celebrate certain puja, you don't do every day. The Shivaratri celebrated, not regularly, occasionally, once in a year. You celebrate Ramanami once in a year. Krishna Jayanti once in a year. Like that, we also have Pitru Karma. Suppose ancestral worship. The day they passed away, the day every once a year, no? We worship. Ancestral worship, etc. So like this, occasionally, certain rituals are to be performed occasionally. Certain rituals have to be done every day. So Nitya Karma, Naimittikam Karma. A karma yogi must do his nitya karmani and naimittika karmani to the exclusion of pratishiddha karmani, prayaschitta karmani. What is prayaschitta karma? Sometimes some rituals or pujas are done to neutralize the ill effects of our own unknowingly done papa karmas. Called prayaschittam karma. So prayaschitta karma is a karma, a ritual or puja performed to neutralize the ill effects of unknowingly done papa karma, wrong actions. This is prayaschitta karma. Kamya karmani means performing certain pujas, rituals or even actions specifically for fulfilling our desires. Today I want to eat ice cream. Then get the ingredients, make it. I must eat ice cream today. Okay, I'm not saying wrong, but I'm just telling you, just example giving. So I want children, okay, we want progeny. For the sake of progeny, there's a putra kameshtiyaga. Understand? For fulfilling one's specific desires, some actions are done. So, kamya karmani. So, karma yogi performs nitya karmani. Every day you have to eat, drink, you know, bathe, worship, pray. No, how worship and prayer must be nitya karma. Not once in a while. Not every Sunday. Or every Friday. Every day. In fact, we have three kala sandhya vandanam. Three times a day worship. Do Gayatri Japa. Isn't it? So what I want to say here, nitya karma means what? Daily worship. Not a daily worship, doing one's duties, knowing one's responsibilities and duties. Doing one's duties regularly is also what? It's a substitute for nitya karma. Then naimittika karma. There are certain things which you don't need to do every day, but you have to do occasionally. So karma yogi is supposed to perform nitya karma, naimittika karma, to the exclusion of pratishiddha karma, kamya karma, and prayaschitta karma. Pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma means prohibited actions. What are the prohibited actions? Anything which goes against dharma is a prohibited action. That is why I briefly said, living one's life consciously in conformity with the universal values. Now, is actually avoiding the prohibited actions. The Shastram strictly says, Kalanjam na bhunjita, may you not eat meat. Don't mistake me, I'm just telling what the Shastram says. Suram na pibet, may not drink intoxicating drinks. Himsam, ma kuru, don't hurt any living big creature. The prohibited actions. Not hurting, not offending. See, being conscious of not offending, hurting, physically, orally, or mentally. I don't hurt other person's feelings. I don't offend other persons. I don't hurt physically. I don't violate. So like this, pratishiddha karma means prohibited actions. So avoiding the prohibited actions, avoiding the prayaschitta karmas also, avoiding even kamya karmas, which are performed only for fulfilling the desires. A person does one's duties, you know, nitya karmani naimittika karmani, in conformity with dharma, with proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. Is it clear? Nitya karma, naimittikam karma, kamya karma, padishiddham karma, prayaschitta karma. Of them, nitya karma, naimittika karma, karma yogi does. He avoids patishiddha karma or nishiddha karma, prayaschitta karma and kamya karma. Okay, this is what he says, karmani kurvanneva. So that is why I made it easy for you in the morning. Just do all your duties in conformity with dharma, with the proper attitude. Don't break your head to understand what is patishiddham karma, what is that karma, what is this karma. Okay? What is relevant for you people? What is relevant for people of these days? You don't need to worry about Agnihotram, Nitya Karma, Vedic ritual. Don't worry about all those things. And know the names. Do your duties prayerfully, worshipfully, in conformity with dharma, with an attitude of offering it to Baba. Whatever comes, prasadaha. Accept it with sameness of mind, remembering the limited nature of the situations, everything comes and goes. Everything is coming from Bhagavan's hands for prasada. Is it clear? Therefore, Agnihotradini. And here, I want to remind you, how can a person live a life of karma yoga, for which Pancha Maha Yajnas, you must have heard about it. Have you heard about it? Pancha Maha Yajnaha. The word Yajnaha means worship. Yajnaha, Yagaha, Yajanam means worship. Vedic form of worship is called Yajnaha. Or puja is also known as worship. Puja also means worship. So Pancha Maha Yajnaha means five forms of worship. Worshipping the only Lord is given as presented as five yajnas, five forms of worship. The first yajna is what? Deva Yajna. Called Nitya Karma. Understand this. Okay? Deva Yajnaha. Devaha means the Lord is said to be Devaha. The all effulgent Lord. The only truth which is shining in the form of the whole universe is what? Devaha. So Deva Yajnaha means worship of Bhagavan. Worshipping the Lord every day. How you eat every day, bathe every day. Isn't it? Going to toilet every day, we must worship Bhagavan every day. Nitya Karma. Deva Yajnaha. Worshipping the Lord means what? Bowing to the Lord. Expressing your gratitude to the Lord for all that you are blessed with. Isn't it? Imagine people, how people are suffering all over. You have food to eat. You have water to drink, you are safe, comfortable, and the company of good people. What a blessing. So, expressing gratitude to Bhagavan for all that you are blessed with. Acknowledging Bhagavan's contribution for your well-being, remaining in the form of all the natural phenomena. This is Deva Yajnaha. Just be conscious of how much you are blessed with. No? Offering your salutations to Bhagavan. Deva Yajnaha. Then second, Manushya Yajnaha. Worshipping Bhagavan in the form of a fellow human being. Doing the needful with presence of mind, knowing the other person's needs to the best of your ability. Somebody comes and tells you something, if you can listen to the person's worries, can tell you something, or give your time, energy, or money. Whatever is possible for you to help another human being, to relieve him of some pain or suffering, in some form or the other. It is Manushya Yajnaha. Service to man is service to the Lord. Isn't it? Manushya Yajnaha. All social service activities come under this category. But even if you simply do social service activity without Purushartha Nischaya, it becomes a binding karma. Even worshipping the Lord without Purushartha Nischaya becomes a punya karma, but it's a binding karma. Even worship of the Lord, yoga practice, meditation, anything you do becomes a binding punya karma. It will not be a liberating yoga if you do not practice it without the Purushartha Nischaya. Do anything with the Purushartha Nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, with the proper attitude, practice yoga, practice meditation, do worship, do anything, it becomes a yoga. See, what is that which converts your karma into yoga? Purushartha nischeha, commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, commitment to Bhagavan, and performing everything with proper attitude in conformity with values. That converts your action into yoga. So worship also becomes a mere punya karma. We simply worship with that purushartha nischeha. So deva yajna, then manushya yajna. So I do lot of social service activities. Many people come and ask this. Why can't we do simply social service activities? Because we really relieve people of pain and suffering. No, we do blood donation thing, that thing, we send money to them. I said, fantastic, very good thought. When you see other person suffering and you suffer and you want to get rid of the suffering you have, therefore you want to help other person, relieve other person's suffering. Even social service is also ultimately for what? Your own happiness. You want to help other person. Why? You involve yourself in reaching out activity for what? Because you want to relieve other person from suffering. Why do you want to relieve other person from suffering? Because when you see other person suffering, you suffer. You can't be happy and peaceful when you see other person suffering. So actually, you want to get rid of the suffering you go through, you have, when you see other person suffering. Therefore, ultimately, even any service to relieve other person's pain is also ultimately to get your pain relieved, to get yourself relieved from pain, ultimately for your own santosha, your own happiness. Okay, you should not forget this. Therefore, social service is very, very good. It is very important to do social service, which is a manushya yajna, which is also worshipping Bhagavan in the form of fellow human beings. Very, very good. But you must remember, even that becomes a binding karma if you do it without proper attitude and without following dharma, and without having purushartha nischaya, without being committed to the pursuit of jnana. Social service is yajna, manushya yajna, worship, if you do it with purushartha nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Is it clear? There is no selflessness in social service. In social service also there is selfishness, because you do it for living, getting your, okay, you to get relieved, to be free from the pain you have. Therefore, in fact, when you do service with proper attitude as a worship, then you are intelligently selfish. Understand? If you don't serve, if you harm other person, you are foolishly selfish. If you follow dharma, you are intelligently selfish. If you go against dharma, harm others, you are foolishly selfish. There is no selflessness. Whatever you do it for your happiness. Understand? So, manushya yajnaha. Is it clear what I am saying? Manushya yajnaha. Definitely, we must serve. Nothing else. That's also worship. Any service becomes worship. When don't forget, don't lose sight of your goal. It's called samadhanam. I am living my life ultimately for discovering Bhagavan, ultimately for discovering the truth, my swarupam, happiness, and all that I am doing now to prepare my life, my mind for knowledge. So deva yajna, then manushya yajna. What's the third one? We say bhuta yajna. Bhuta yajna. So So bhuta yajna, bhutam literally means any being. Not only human beings, even serving the other living beings, not hurting other living beings, even being kind and compassionate to other creatures is also what? Bhuta yajna. That is why in India we have this, we feed crows. Don't ask me whether you go and feed tigers and lions, okay? We must be prudent. Any soft domestic animals we are very kind to. We never first go, cow is a very auspicious animal. Nitya puja is there for cows. Even we put this rangoli every day in the mornings. If you see early mornings, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, even in every house, people sprinkle water, you know, mixed with cow dung, and then they put this rangoli. Now they use rice flour. So rice flour means minute, tiny granules will be there, so ants can come and take them. Ants will roll them and take. Big rice is difficult for ants to take. So you put powder, ants can come and take that rice flour from rangoli. We do it for like a decoration, like sal bhuta yajna. We are very conscious of not hurting, of any causing any harm to even other living beings. When you have such a big goal, Bhagavan, how can we hurt any living creature? Isn't it? That is bhuta yajna. So my actions, my lifestyle, in no way it harms any living creature, any fellow beings, human beings. Very thankful to Bhagavan. I do the needful. What is possible within my limits? I don't need to go out of the track, out of way to do things. Whatever is possible within my limits, I can do. So bhuta yajna, even not hurting, not harming, not being harmful to any other living creature. Being kind and compassionate to other living creatures also is what? A form of worship which is called bhuta yajna. So deva yajna, manushya yajna, bhuta yajna. We have another yajna. Rishi yajna or Brahma yajna. Rishi yajna or Brahma yajna. Same meaning. See, now organizing classes like this, getting different Mahatmas come and speak, listening to the Shastra teaching, studying the Shastram is Brahma yajna. Why? Study of the Shastram itself is a form of worship. You break the coconut and offering flowers, offering prasadams and doing big pujas and singing. That is also a form of worship. A form of worship. You have to validate everything. Never ever undermine, underestimate, undervalue anything. There is another form of worship where you are helped to place your mind in Bhagavan. Nama Sankirtanam or singing bhajans or doing all those things, you are helped. Your mind is helped to be with Bhagavan everywhere. That is another form of worship. This is another form of worship. Worship is of the Lord, but different form of worship. When you study the scripture and you are understanding the subtle facts of life, first of all you understand, what am I living this life for? What is the ultimate purpose of living this life? What is that accomplishing which a human life becomes absolutely successful, meaningful, complete life? What is this moksha? What is jnanam? Why knowledge is important? Why we should pursue jnanam? How shastram is the pramanam? how, if I have to benefit from the teaching, how I should live my life, what is living a life of dharma, what are the values, what is karma yoga. So understanding how I should live my life, for which shastra study is important. You understand Bhagavan, how to have my life filled with Bhagavan. There's no fractional second Bhagavan is away from my life. Not in 1 second Bhagavan is away from my life. My life is filled with Bhagavan. I open my eyes until I fall asleep. Whatever I do it with Ishwarpana Buddhi. Whatever comes in my life, is I accept Prasada Buddhi. I consciously do not go against Dharma. I am prayerful to Bhagavan, seeking Bhagavan's ways always to be able to live a life of Dharma. Means you never, never Bhagavan is forgotten in your life. That's why Bhagavan filled the life. Even to know that Shastra study helps. Therefore, studying the Shastra is Brahma Yajna. Okay? Or Rishi Yajna. Worship of Rishis. When you study Upanishads, actually it is our form of the way of offering our prostrations, salutations, obeisance to Rishis is by studying Shastra. Studying Shastra is what now? Paying our respects to Rishis. This is called Rishi worship. Studying Upanishad is what? Rishi worship. Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. This is also form of worship. One more yajna is there. Pitru Yajnaha. Pitru Yajnaha. Pitru is a word used to mean ancestor. Pitru means pita, father. But here in this context we use, it means ancestors. Pitru Yajna means worshipping our ancestors, worship of ancestors. Worshipping the ancestors also is a form of worship of the Lord. If we believe, if you understand, it's a fact, all that was there before was Bhagavan. All that is now is Bhagavan. All that is going to come in future is also Bhagavan. Always whatever is only Bhagavan. Isn't it? Means, whoever was there before as my father, as my mother, as my grandfather, as my grandmother, you know, grandparents, even other elders in the family, who were all there? All, everything was Bhagavan, they all must have been Bhagavan only. And definitely they all have contributed for my growth, some form or the other. So they have fed me, they raised me, they educated me, they taught me good values. So I express my gratitude to my own ancestors, my mother and father, parents, elders. So it's also the form of worship. Is it clear? It's a form of worship. So worshipping, paying our respects to ancestors, and remembering them, thinking of them, expressing our gratitude to our ancestors. They are not here to see what you are doing. They don't care whether you worship him or worship them or not. But worshipping ancestors, expressing your gratitude to them, at least once in a year, the day of death or something, is also what? It actually is a form of worshipping the Lord only. Only Bhagavan is worshipped in so many ways. Isn't it? It's called Pitru Yajna. So, in all these, worshipping the Lord, worshipping ancestors, worshipping fellow Bhagavan of human beings, Bhagavan of other beings, this worship itself is a symbolic act of offering. Now, through which offering my gratitude to Bhagavan, acknowledging Bhagavan's contribution for my well-being in the form of all the phenomena. Is it clear now? Therefore, what is relevant for you as Karma Yoga, I am telling you. So don't worry about Agnihotra Dini Karmani. Means, what Shastram says here is, Agnihotrani Hotradini means performing one's Nitya Naimittika Karmani to the exclusion of அதர் பிரதிஷித்த கர்மானி, நிஷித்த கர்மானி, பிராயச்சித்த கர்மானி, காமிய கர்மானி, ஒன் மஸ்ட் லிவ் ஒன்ஸ் லைஃப். ஓகே, சோ வாட் இட் இம்ப்ளைஸ் இஸ் லிவிங் லைஃப், வாட் எவர் யூ டூ, வாட் கன்வெர்ட்ஸ் யுவர் ஆக்ஷன் இன் டு அ ப்ரிப்பரேட்டரி டிசிப்ளின் கால்ட் யோகா இஸ் யுவர் கமிட்மெண்ட் டு தி பர்சூட் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் and commitment to live a life of values in the proper attitude. Is it clear? Okay. Next. Jiji Vishet.
Jiji Vishet.
Jivitum Ichet.
Jivitum Ichet.
So he used the meaning, Shankaracharya used the meaning, Jiji Vishet means Jivitum Ichet. May you have a desire to live long. How? Shatam. Shatam means shata sankhyakaha. Means 100 number. Samaha means years. Samvatsaran. Samaha, samaha, samvatsaraha means the same. May one have desire to live long for 100 years along with the desire to perform nitya naimittika karmas, along with the desire to perform panchamaha yajnas. Okay? Tavaddhi purushasya paramayuhu nirupitam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says in his commentary, Purushasya Param Ayuhu Nirupitam. A human being's full span of life is only for 100 years, not more than that. That is made very clear here. Okay. ததாச்ச ப்ராப்த அனுவாதேன யஜ்ஜிஜீவிஷேத் சதம் வர்ஷாணி தத் குர்வன்னேவ கர்மாணி இதி ஏதத் விதீயதே. சி விதீயதே மீன்ஸ் இட் இஸ் ஆர்டைன்ட். What is ordained here? What is commanded here? What is the commandment? One must have a desire to live for 100 years. Means that is not, that desire is already there. It's only restated by the Upanishad. Therefore the emphasis is not on desire for living. Emphasis on desire for doing. Okay, we all must have love for doing actions, love for doing our duties. We must learn to love what we have to do. Naturally, we will have love for doing what we have to do if we understand the life, understand the teaching. Understand why always people complain about, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. But I'm unfortunate, like cannot escape from this. This is what I have to do. I don't like to do this. Always irritation, dissatisfaction, unhappiness, sometimes in doing things which you have to do. That is because it's lack of understanding, because of lack of understanding of what am I doing this for. If you understand whatever I am ordained to do, destined to do, I am doing, ultimately my happiness is only knowing what I am. If I have to know that knowledge is choiceless end, all that I am doing is only to prepare my mind for that. That is called surrender. Okay, you are asking, somebody was asking about surrender. there is no way of surrendering yourself to anything. Okay? In fact, surrendering oneself to Bhagavan means commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth. This commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of who Bhagavan is, which is real surrender, which is real devotion. When you discover the truth being Bhagavan, discover yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, okay, Bhagavan being non-separate from yourself, the knowledge is what? Absolute surrender. I want to tell you here, what is surrender also? What is surrender? If you see, I am non-separate from Bhagavan, Bhagavan is non-separate from me, all that is there is only Bhagavan in the form of truth. For understanding is that I am not even here. All that is there is only Bhagavan means it's called offering oneself to Bhagavan. Okay? How can you offer yourself to Bhagavan? Can you go and sit next to Bhagavan? What does it mean by saying offering oneself to Bhagavan? Offering oneself to Bhagavan means discovering the fact of oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan in the form of truth of oneself is, okay, offering oneself to Bhagavan. Okay, the wave discovers the wave is water. The wave discovers the fact the ocean is also water. That is what wave being offered to the ocean. Understand? There is no way of offering. Physical, this offering is not physical, it is cognitive. Bhagavan doesn't want us, okay, physically. This is what is cognitively resolving one's identity with Bhagavan, the whole is what? Actually offering oneself to Bhagavan, which is absolute surrender. Until and unless knowledge takes place, discover the fact of yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan, there is no surrender. It's absolute surrender. Suppose you, when you live a life of dharma, when you are willingly surrendered to Bhagavan in the name of dharma, that is relative surrender. Okay? If you live a life of karma yoga, that is relative surrender. In jnanam, there is absolute surrender. Is it clear? Understand? Therefore, what I want to say here, one should live one's life for 100 years, it is said. The emphasis is not on having desire for living for 100 years. The emphasis is on living one's life with the desire to perform actions. Isn't it? What I want to say here, once the goal is very clear, whatever you are destined to do, you will do it happily, enthusiastically, attentively, wholeheartedly, in the proper attitude. We don't need to wait for something, I don't need to wait for doing things which I want to do. Instead of waiting for what I want to do, I can happily do whatever I am ordained to do, destined to do. It is possible if you have understanding. That's what kurvanneva. Okay? So much I have to say for this. Therefore, the emphasis on performing duties, actions, living a life of karma yoga, not in simply wanting to live. Next. Evam. Means in this manner. First we had the word evam is there in the mantra. Evam means evam. Evam prakarena. Means in this manner. In which manner? in this manner means in other than living this manner of living a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga is living the life prescribed, enjoined by the shastram. Evam prakarena, in this manner, if twai jijivishati nare, with reference to you, the individual who wants to live, with nare means what? Nare means as a human being. As a human being, when you live your life, want to live your life like this, you live your life in this manner as prescribed by the Shastram, enjoined by the Shastram, then what happens? He says, Naramatra Abhimanini. Naramatra Abhimanini means what? I am a human being. Now, with this identity. Naramatra Abhimana means what? With having a strong identity that I am a human being. As a person having identity with one's body, mind and complex, as a simple ignorant individual, when you live your life in this manner, following the lifestyle enjoined by the Shastram. Okay? Itaha
Etasmad
Agnihotralini Karmani Kurvataha. Vartamanat Prakarat Anyatha Prakarantaram Nasti. See, other than anyatha means what? Anyatha means otherwise. If you do not follow the way of life enjoined by the Shastram in terms of living a life of karma yoga, performing a nitya karmani, performing a naimittika karmani, avoiding a shuddha karmani, isn't it? Unless you live this way of life enjoined by the Shastram, anyatha, otherwise, evam prakar, he says, prakarantaram nasti, there is no other method, there is no other way. Prakara means mode or method. Is there any other method of protecting myself? No. I am not repeating, okay? Already I have finished teaching in the morning. I am just reading out this, what is here in the Bhashya. Anyatha prakarantaram nasti, there is no other way. I am not saying. Shankara Bhagavatpada says here, because na anyatha is original text. No, there is no other way. Prakarantram nasti yena prakarena, yena prakarena ashubham karma na lipyate. There is no other method by which papam does not touch you. Papam na lipyate. If punya, papam should not touch you, we should not be afflicted by papam, if we should not suffer, if you want to be relatively peaceful, okay, only in jnanam you can be absolutely peaceful, absolutely happy, okay. The absolute happiness, absolute peace will be, which is already there, will become manifest for you once you attain jnanam. Until jnanam should I suffer. Until jnanam should I suffer. Suffering is what? Suffering is not protecting oneself. If you do not suffer means you protect yourself. So, not being given to suffering is having oneself protected. Suffering one's life is what? Not being protected. Okay? Not having oneself protected. Do you want to suffer? Do you want to be unprotected? Or do you want to be protected? Do you want to avoid suffering? Do you want to be peaceful and happy now or not? If you want to be, see, being relatively peaceful, being calm, being undisturbed is being protected relatively. In jnanam, there will be absolute peace and happiness. Until jnanam takes place, until you prepare yourself, isn't it? You should not be suffering, you should be protected. Means the only way is live a life of karma yoga. Okay, that is what is said here. Yena prakarena ashubham karma na lipyate. Ashubham karma means papa karma. Papa, see, whenever you suffer, what does it mean? You are afflicted by the result of papa karma. Any affliction, any suffering, any pain, any agony one goes through in one's life is actually going through, isn't it? Result of papa karma. The nimittam, other people may be nimittam instrumental. But why that is pain, suffering, agony is actually result of papa karma. If you want to be protected, you don't want to be afflicted by papa karma phalam in terms of suffering, then if you want to be relatively peaceful and happy, what is the way? Dharmam sharanam gacchami. Live a life of karma yoga. Na anyatha. Itaha na anyatha is the original text from the mantra. Original words. So Shankaracharya says, evam anya prakarantaram nasti. There is no other way. There is no other method. Yena prakarena ashubham karma na lipyate. Karmana na lipyate ityartaha. There is no other way of not being afflicted by the result of papa karma in terms of suffering, going through pain. Okay? Jealousy is there, hatred is there, anger is there. Do you think that you are comfortable? Every day, always, how to keep myself in good humor? Not to become the victim of problems of my own mind. Outside people live, whatever other people do, that should not, that is not, other people's behavior is only nimittam, instrumental for you to go through suffering. You can still keep yourself in good humor. There is no jealousy, no hatred, no anger, no fear, no anxiety, okay, no hurt, no guilt. If these things are not there, you are peaceful. Even any one of them is enough to disturb you. You cannot sleep, you cannot not talk to people well, you will be moody, grumpy, because things are not to my expectation, not to my satisfaction, I get disturbed. Isn't it? If you have proper attitude, you can just be cool. Okay? That is what is karma yoga. I'm not saying, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, yena prakarena ashubham karma na lipyate, karmana na lipyate. See, grammatically, it must be karmana na lipyate or karma na lipyate. It must be grammatically. But in mantra, it is a karma lipyate nare, it is there. What is said here is, even now, you can look after yourself. You can take care of your mental wellness. You can mental health, you can take care. You will not be dejected and depressed and don't need to go for any anti- No? Depression. Huh? Yeah. Medication. Don't need to go to psychiatrists and psychoanalysts and psychotherapists for counseling. You don't need to be dejected. Don't need to be panic attacks. You don't need to have disturbed by anger or jealousy. others have, I don't have. All these small things come and disturb your easiness. That's why it's disease. Disturb your easiness, or this is disease? Mental illness. How can I maintain my mental wellness? Mental health. You know, Shastram says, live a life of karma yoga. It is proper attitude. Another fact is, nobody is responsible for my whatever I go through in my life. It's a fact. Everything is ordered by karma. The order. Karma phala, isn't it? This understanding at least helps me to manage. So what it says is, if you have proper attitude towards everything in life, Ishwarpada Buddhi is there. If you know that everything comes and goes, definitely you can maintain your wellness. That's why in Bhagavad Gita also is emphasized, only by living a life of karma yoga you can avoid becoming mad. Otherwise, there's no way. Anyway, so he says, Yena prakarena ashubham karma na lipyate. Oh my god, time is gone. Ataha
shastra-vihitani
karmani
agnihotradini
kurvanneva jijivishe. Tasmat, therefore, what is the teaching, final teaching now? One must live a life of karma yoga, performing what has been ordained by the Shastram. There is no choice. For live a life of karma yoga for relative peace and happiness. Attain jnanam for absolute peace and happiness. This is how you can protect yourself. There is no other way of protecting yourself. In fact, living a life of karma yoga itself is praised as sannyasa in 6th chapter of Gita. Because one needs a tremendous amount of emotional strength to live a life of karma yoga. That's why one needs abundance of Bhagavan's grace to live a life of karma yoga. That's why prayer is very important, japa is very important, worship is very important. All the time definitely you have to seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of karma yoga. Which means there's no fraction second Bhagavan is away from you, away from your life. Your life is always filled with Bhagavan. Okay. With this, the commentary on that verse is, literal meaning of the verse is over. Now, there will be some objection, which we will see tomorrow. Okay? For our own clarity, we will see tomorrow. At least this particular portion I have finished. Okay, any questions? I am stopping now. Any questions?
Still don't understand the desire to live. I do understand desire to live and do good actions. I don't fully grasp what it means. One should desire to live.
Yeah, that is what actually teaching was here. See, please, this is a very important question. That is, the whole teaching is like that here. Shankara's commentary, he makes it very clear. Jijivishet means, it's a desiderative word. Actually, it's a ling. In Sanskritam, the ling means potential mode, verb. One must desire to live. That's the meaning. So what Shankara says in his commentary, naturally, already human being has a desire to live. Okay? When you already you have desire to eat, what should they tell you? You must eat, you should eat. Not necessary. You will laugh at me. Is Swamini mad? I already have desire to eat. Why should she come and tell me you must eat, you should eat? It doesn't make any sense. See, when you say you should do this, it's called a vidhi. Vidhi means ordaining. Shastram ordains. Shastram commands, a commandment of the Shastram that you must, you should. So why should you have a desire to live? Why should Shastram tell us to have a desire to live? So the emphasis, the vidhi, is not on living, what desiring to live. Shankaracharya writes, one must have a desire to perform actions. Not in desire to have live, the emphasis is one must have a desire to live for 100 years, having the equally having the desire to perform actions. Okay? Though the meaning is like that, we should take it that way. Desire is not for simply living, desire is for doing karma. But what karma should I do? Not all the karmani, shastradhitani karmani. The karmas, the actions, the activities, rituals ordained by karma. What are the actions enjoined by the karma? First of all, nitya karma means to be done activities, daily activities. Especially your duties. You know, you have to play different roles, you have different duties, all your duties. Then daily worship, Panchamaha Yajnas, I said. Now understand that, no? Panchamaha Yajnas has mentioned. Then Naimittika Karmani. This you must do. But what should you avoid? What you should do? What should you avoid? That Shastram tells. So in my, first I said, just do everything in conformity with Dharma means what? Naturally you will refrain from wrong actions. That's why I said in the morning, very easily, very clearly I said. But now, when Shastram says, avoid kamya karmani, avoid actions, even performance of rituals, specifically performed for the fulfillment of specific desires. Avoid prayaschitta karmani, even certain rituals prescribed, performed, for neutralizing the ill effects of unknowingly done wrong actions. Even avoid them. Not necessary. They reduce them otherwise. Then, pratishiddha karmani, prohibited actions. Shastram strictly says, no, don't do all these things. I mean, don't do means, Shastram does not even strictly, Shastram does not say, don't do this and do this. Okay, what Shastram says, if you do this, you will not become prepared. If you do this, you will go against Dharma. Then you will not become qualified. You cannot become mentally pure and steady. It's not good for your mental wellness. If you don't do this, it is good for you. The Shastram doesn't say in Veda Shastram, nowhere it is, you must and you must not. That's not the way it is taught. If you do this, what is better? If you don't do this, what is good for you? Like that, the karmas are prescribed. So, nitya karmani, naimittika karmani must be done. Pratishiddha karmani, prohibited actions such as, you know, hurting, meat eating, drinking alcohol, etc. are prohibited. Actions. Then Naimisthya Kami Karmani, Prashchitta Karmani, is all, no? We say Vihita Karmani, Avihita Karmani, we have this. So Shastram says, do this, don't do this. It's been so following the instructions of the Shastram. If I live my life, I have desire to live naturally. If you also have a desire to do what Shastram tells me to do. Okay? That's what his emphasis is, on living one's life, doing what should be done. Is it clear? Na, shatam samaha means 100 years is the maximum, the full span of human life is 100 years. A human being maximum, a person lives his complete life, 100 years a person can live. That is the complete span of life. So, until however long you live, what it implies is, not that you must have desire to live for 100 years, not that, is not the meaning. However long you live, if you live your full span of life for 100 years, see that you live your life along having a desire for doing your duties, living a life of karma yoga. You don't shirk your duties and responsibilities. Do what is to be done. Is it clear? Because this particular verse, that's why I did in the morning completely, I made very clear, morning itself. Because it talks about all karmani, means agnihotradini, it starts like that. Where is agnihotra? Who does agnihotra? It is what is, how it should be taken these days. Especially being people of other cultures. The teaching is relevant for anybody. But how I should take it? Understand? Yes?
By Shruti using the term Shatam Samaha, and Bhagavan also says Padama Ayuhu,
yeah.
Is the emphasis also on we should do this as long as is necessary?
No. What it means, not that, that's not the way. Param Ayuhu means a human being's full span of life being 100 years is, you know, the Param Ayuhu means what? That is the complete span of life of human being 100 years is also proved here by the statement of Upanishad. Shatam Samaha Upanishad says, what does it mean? We don't need to expect to live longer than that. We can't, no? It's what, if at all a person is destined to live a long life, longest life, 100 years maximum. That's all. So they simply said, mentioned that's all. The idea is not on wanting to live or having a desire to live. As long as you live, however long you live, see that you live your life properly, living a life of karma yoga. So this life itself will become what now? Before this lifespan ends, you may become qualified, you may become, you know, viriha sannyasi, sannyasi, attain jnanam, then moksha. You know, it's emphasis. We should not take it seriously about, oh, all 100 years I must be living my life, doing my duty, all time karma, karma, karma. Not like that. The emphasis is, it is very important for everyone how I should understand the meaning of this verse. I know my limitations. Now I have Purushartha Nishchaya. I know the value of knowledge. I am committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Doesn't matter how old I am, okay, at this age. Now see whether I am, you know, now when you study Shastram, you can make out whether you are qualified or not. Once you know your mental condition, how you are, how strong is your, how clear is your viveka, how strong is your vairagyam, how disciplined you are, you know. Once you know, okay, I had to become qualified. Once you know that, then you make possible efforts. Jnana is the goal, nothing else is the goal. Bhagavan is the goal, moksha is my goal. I must prepare my mind. My all my focus must be in preparing my mind, how I can become mentally pure and steady. Everything else is secondary. I tell you, nothing else matters. What matters is how I should become mentally relatively peaceful, how I can mentally calm, how I can become pure and steady. And Shastram says there's no way, not simply doing that and this, nothing might. No, live a life of karma yoga. Manasam karma, vachikam karma, kayikam karma, any physical activity, oral activity, mental activity, your puja, your worship, panchamaha yajnas, any social service, any family duties, whatever you do, you must be doing it as what? Puja. Everything must be doing with proper attitude. Only then it becomes yoga. A lot of people come and complain to me, Swamiji, I was there, I did this so many years, no, I served so much, I did a lot of social service activities. Really, they were nice people. But what happened? Somewhere the Purushartha was not very clear. They were very dedicated also, very good people. Very dedicated. But the Purushartha nischaya was not there. Commitment to Bhagavan, pursuit of knowledge was not there. But they did a lot of seva also. Then what happens? Frustration. What on time? Doing, frustration. You must do, but everything you do, every day, everything, the more you, whatever you do, should energize you, isn't it? Give you strength to you. Make you feel, make you, help you blossom. Which means, you must be able to do it as Ishwar, arpanam for Bhagavan, offering to Bhagavan. That's why the attitude, how, with what you do, the attitude with what you receive, accept situations, how you keep maintain your mental stability. That is why you must be prayerful. If you are not prayerful, you have strength to maintain your balance. All the time to be able to see Bhagavan's prasadam, to remain maintained. But easy joke, living a life of karma yoga is not an easy joke. People think of karma yoga, not an easy joke. It takes a tremendous amount of strength. Because living a life of karma yoga means already is a relative surrender. There is no specially, you don't need to do anything to surrender yourself. Living a life of karma yoga itself is surrendering oneself to Bhagavan relatively. When you attain jnana, is absolute surrender. Understand? That's why we don't need to take into account very seriously about 100 years and all that. The idea is live a life of karma yoga. Don't worry about jnanam and moksha and all that. Remember that, but just start here. Then, the way of life you live, Bhagavan's grace will take care of whatever has to happen.
What I was wondering about specifically, Swamiji, was if there's any implication that even if it takes us the whole lifespan, we should continue. If that's why Bhagavan is emphasizing that.
No, that is what I'm saying. The very question doesn't arise. What happens? This is what the span of life. You know where you stand. You know what your limitations are. You know what your mental condition is. You know whether you're qualified or not. If you know that, then you take care of that. Doesn't matter. No, don't need to worry about when, where, how, when is going to moksha going to happen, when are we going to attain jnanam, when I become prepared. Don't worry about all that. Just live a life of karma yoga. You are already in spiritual. You are already spiritual. You are on the right track. You will not miss the end destination. Suppose, I understand what she wants to ask. And Arjuna asks in 6th chapter, suppose Krishna, somebody who is meditating, who is given the discipline of meditation and the pursuit of knowledge, all that, who is already in spiritual path, Suppose a person kicks the bucket before he attains Nirvana. What will happen to him? Arjuna has, that's what she has. Krishna said, don't worry, you'll pick up the thread where you left. No hard work will go ever waste. Because once you live a life karma yoga means you are already surrendered yourself to Bhagavan. See, understand, there's no way of surrendering oneself to Bhagavan without living a life of karma yoga. This is what is real surrender. This special way of, people have talked of ideas. Surrendering means what is, how can you surrender? Living a life of karma yoga is a your surrender. Understand? Just keep on living. And your fervor in your prayer, worship and your shraddha, the commitment will bless you with, you know, whatever you need to have. Suppose even if this body goes before attaining Jnanam, still you are on the right track, you pick up the thread where you left, so that all the efforts you have put in this life will not go waste at all. Nahi kalyana kaschit durgatim tata gacchiti. How can a person who lives a life of karma yoga, is a wonderful person, wonderful human being, very loving and caring and person of warmth, really totally surrendered to dharma, doesn't knowingly hurt anybody, how can such a person can go to Durgati, attend Durgati? No. Definitely there will be progress. Before you leave, depending upon your preparation, you can attain Jnana, Moksha, you can have Jivan Mukti. Otherwise, you can even, that way you can come up there, Videha Mukti also. Otherwise, don't need to worry, you are on the right track, you'll pick up, you'll continue. Definitely you would be again born in an atmosphere where you can attain Jnanam and Moksha, where you can continue your study and all. Even now, I tell you, even now, somewhere some punyam all of us must have done. Already you must have been aspiring for this, you must have been in this path. That is why today you are able to sit and listen to this Vishavasya Upanishad. Doesn't matter where you were born, how you were born, who your parents were. Somewhere you picked up that interest. Somewhere you have discovered that love for Shastram. It is not that one day, overnight, you have not picked up overnight. It's all proof for Janmantra Samskara. Live a life of Karma Yoga, that is life of surrender. Then everything will be taken care of. Whether this Janma or next Janma, doesn't matter. She was saying, I didn't want to tell this. She was so dead. She wanted that answer for that. Okay. I think it's very clear. Isn't it? Teaching is very, very, very clear. If I simply translated the Bhashyam given here, you would have been wondering, my God, Agnihotradini karmani, nitya karmani I should do. Naimittika karmani I should do. I should avoid prayaschitta karmani, pratishiddha karmani. What are they? You'll be wondering. Yeah? Now you have understood beautifully, properly what Karma Yoga is. And this mantra also emphasizes the fact, unless and until you live a life of Karma Yoga, there's no way of preparing your mind for Jnanam. Preparing your mind for Jnanam is in fact becoming mentally pure and steady is what protecting yourself. Okay? Seek protection I'm living a life of Karma Yoga. Om. Any other question? Finished?
Swami, just to follow up that Karma Yoga is to prepare yourself for Jnana and Kriya. So if one lives a life of Dharma and performs their duties towards their family and towards their community, and then they feel that they are prepared and that they've reached Jnana, then how do they resolve perhaps their family and their community perceiving them as then abandoning their duties?
No. A Karma Yogi is the one who can never abandon duties. Abandoning duties does not make a person Karma Yogi.
But after attaining Jnanam?
No, after attaining Jnanam also, one doesn't need to shirk one's duties and responsibilities. Important question. Before attaining Jnanam, you perform your duties with proper attitude for preparing your mind for Jnanam. After attaining your Jnanam also, you can continue to do your duties without doership and enjoyership. See, before Jnanam, you do karma to prepare your mind for discovering happiness. After attaining Jnanam, you will happily do your duties. You will do duties, remaining in happiness. There is no need for one to give up duties. Any wise person will never do anything which disturbs the order, a social order. A wise person will be blessed with, definitely will be wise enough, you know, to live his life, not to disturb any order. No. If anybody abandons and leaves, that there is no Jnanam, there is no proper understanding of the Shastra teaching. One should know one's responsibilities and duties. There is no need for one to shirk one's duties and responsibilities at all. If at all, I can understand what you mean. Sometimes people go to take to sannyasa, leave their duties and... No. See, shirking their duties and responsibilities, somebody goes and takes, joins an ashram, becomes sannyasi, means that sannyasa is not acceptable. People go, they don't leave duties. In fact, when they become sadhus, the whole family, so society becomes their family. They are interested in the well-being of everybody, it's not just one small family. Understand? Somewhere some misunderstanding otherwise. If at all somebody, one doesn't need to shirk one's duties and responsibilities at all. No need. Have you answered? If at all somebody goes, that is, they want to escape, run away. Sometimes people want to go and join ashrams and to escape from their duties. Escapism should not be mistaken for knowledge or wisdom or maturity or sannyasa. And as people will be disruptive of the ashrams also. They were not contributing. They are not contributing people, isn't it? In fact, a Karma Yogi is a highly productive, contributive, constructive person. He contributes for the well-being of society, uplifting himself, you know, taking care of oneself, uplifting oneself. He also becomes a contributor for social well-being. How? Not by doing something big, becoming a celebrity. Just by living a life of dharma, the contribution is what? Even if a person lives a life of dharma, it's a contribution for social well-being. Isn't it? So, also that's called Atmanastu Kamaya, Jagat Hitaya cha. For the well-being of society, at the same time, Nothing should be done at the cost of one's own wellness. Shastram doesn't recommend that. You must take care of yourself first. Puja Swami used to say, when you are sinking, why do you think of uplifting other person? Nothing should be at the cost of your wellness and well-being. You take care of your wellness, well-being, welfare. How? Be, you know, by living a life of karma yoga. Just by doing what has to be done, you are contributing for the social well-being, family well-being, universal well-being. That's why it's all proper understanding of the teaching. Because there is a complaint about people leaving their duties, shirking their responsibilities, going away to the new ashrams, joining there. And the people, sometimes some ashrams they keep them because they want some free people. And these people do not really, neither support, neither they are helpful for the family, nor are they helpful for the ashrams. They become parasites. Disruptive people. I'm not saying they're bad or wrong. They need some proper guidance and teaching. They're lucky enough, they may get guided by good people, associate themselves. Otherwise, Bhagavan has to protect their people. Does this make sense? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.